Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Good Friday morning to you. 2 hours rolling into the AFC-NFC championship games this weekend and a lot of things to talk about. Obviously some sports and some football, but some other little things in within the game, within the game, but also within the league. I'm going to broach this question to you, and I want you to tell me, do you feel hoodwinked by the NFL with these talks going back and forth? It's always amazing to me because no matter what happens, folks, your ticket prices are going to go up. And you're going to get screwed right in the backside with this possible labor, with a labor dispute that's going on, the possible lockout, may have the draft before free agency, which completely changed. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But do you feel screwed because you're the ones who pay and you're the ones who are not going to get a say at all in this? Your complaints or your concerns fall on deaf ears. You bothered? Are you bothered by it? Part I'm bothered by also is a bunch of grown men who do this. We talk about give and take, the selfish on both sides. The owners are a crock. They all make money. They all get rich. Don't feel sorry for them, folks. No matter what you say, they're full of shit is what they are. And don't ever kid yourself either. I love Roger Goodell and what the NFL stands for. Roger Goodell does not represent the players. I know DeMaurice Smith does. As the player rep, as the head of the NFL Players Association. But I'm talking about, isn't the commissioner supposed to represent both sides? If you think for a minute that the front office of the NFL represents the players' best interests, I mean, while Roger Goodell's great, I'm not just talking about Roger Goodell, I'm talking about any commissioner that's ever been in any sport. Their allegiance is to the owners, and don't let them kid you one single solitary bit. They pay his salary. And that's the way it goes. They elect him. It's the way it goes. So don't think for a second, that this is Roger Goodell in the middle trying to bring them together. And I just can't put the commissioner in. And I'm not saying anything bad about commissioner. I agree with most of the things he's done in the NFL since he's been here. I think he's had an unbelievable run. I don't agree with the way that they find people in that aspect. He's cleaned up a lot of things, and I'm grateful for it. But I'm just talking about that position of commissioner sides with the owners first and the players second. And it doesn't matter what you think. It's true. But I want the question I ask is, do you feel screwed? Because you're going to get screwed. You do know this, right? With all the issues that come up, we're not going to go through them all, but with all the 18-game schedule, you know, this, a rookie salary cap. I mean, all these things. Do you realize that you're the ones going to get hammered in the end? Because if they do come back, you're going to be responsible for raised ticket prices and all that. They're going to charge you more. And if they don't come back this year, you're going to lose out on all the things that you lose out on. They're going to say, oh, we'll refund your season tickets. Great, thanks. Of course you'll refund my season tickets. I pay for season tickets, and if there's no game, I get paid back. Just like in baseball, if there's a rain out, I get a rain check. So what's the advantage for you other than your prices are going to go up in an economy that's not any better than it was 6 months ago? Okay. So we'll talk about that. Tom Brady played with a stress fracture all 2010 in his right foot. Now, question's this. Are we just listening? You may be a Brady hater, a Patriots hater. Does it enhance the fact that he had four interceptions in an unbelievable season this year? He's going to win the MVP. That he played the full season of 2010 with a stress fracture in his foot, right foot. They're putting pins in it, and he's having surgery right now. Or is about to go through, I can't remember when they said it was, but surgery to do some stuff to his right foot, the stress fracture. So obviously he's not going to play in the Pro Bowl, but he will be the MVP. And does this just enhance Brady's, the aura that surrounds Tom Brady, that he's, about his toughness and a great player? Does it bother you that we're hearing about this now? But remember, it's typical New England Patriots now. They don't share. They hide certain stuff about injuries. So does this make his season even more spectacular, what went on with Tom? And are you bothered that we're finding this out now? For a guy who never gets into trouble, talks some trash in the games, Tom does, but who's just been a pretty good guy. I mean, the jealousies across about him, people are so bothered by him. People are so bothered by him. You either really like Tom Brady people can't stand him. I think Tom Brady's great. I've met him, and he's always been good to me, and he's a hell of a player. And, I judge people by what I know about them. I don't judge people by the fact that you don't like his Justin Bieber haircut, or you can't stand the Patriots, or they win, or he's got the hot girlfriend. If you're a guy, you're jealous because you want to be him. I think most people, women love him because they think he's hot. But I also read women that can't stand him. They're bothered by him. But guys want to be him because who doesn't want to be a three-time Super Bowl champion dating the top supermodel or married to the top supermodel in the world? Ain't a bad gig if you're Tom Brady. But so many people can't stand him. Tell me your feelings on Tom Brady and why. If you call in here, you're a female. Tell if you like him because you think he's hot, and that's fine. Cool. I don't care. It's not as this show, we're unfiltered. We talk about everything. Who the hottest woman is, why girls like to cozy and snuggle, and the guys that do snuggle and like to cozy for more than 8 minutes a night, or 15 minutes a night. If you're more than a 15-minute cozier or 20-minute cozier a night, you drink martinis and probably wear Prada. Like that beer commercial with the skinny jeans where they're too small for you. That may be you, okay? That should be a man law. No cozy and more than you can't cozy. If you get past 30 minutes, you fall into the, you might as well be putting on a garter belt and a G-string and panties yourself. So we talk about fun things on this show. So if you're a guy and you call and you say you don't like him just because you hate the Patriots or you hate Brady because he's been blessed beyond belief, what is it? Chad Ochocinco. The act is still wearing thin, and Marvin Lewis is just killing him. And you know what? It's about time somebody finally said it's about time Marvin Lewis didn't put up with this shit anymore. You may not want Marvin Lewis back or not, but he blasted Ochocinco, who suggested on his Twitter while he's under contract. Let me just backtrack for a minute. I met Chad Johnson, and I've talked to him in the past, and he's always been cool. When he first came into this league, he came in as a worker, get to work on time, always been a talker. But with the new media and the commercials and marketing and branding himself, he's become a guy that he forgot what made him popular in the first place. That was his actual day job. That was actual day job. See, he thinks he can just go on and talk football when he's done with his career and just be able to just throw things out there. He's going to find out that his outlandish way of doing things is not going to fit in on network TV the way he thinks it is. You do got to prepare if you want to do your job right. But he went in from being a guy who prepared hard as a player and got his butt in gear and practiced hard and was ready to a guy who's just become he's just an average player now. And all the TV and commercials and all that, he's forgot what his day job is. But Marvin Lewis ripped him about an injury earlier. Here's what Chad Johnson said, or Chad Ochocinco, whatever you want to call him. He'll change that again at some point. He's like Diddy. He said he might be a good fit to play for the Patriots. He said that on his own Twitter while he's under contract with Cincinnati. And here was Marvin Lewis's message about him. He goes, hey, nobody was talking about him. He didn't or couldn't stand that, Lewis said via Bengals.com. You want them to talk about you? Win football games. That's Marvin saying that about Ocho Cinco, which I think is classic. He's basically saying that Chad, and this is true, we know this, if we're not talking about Chad Ocho Cinco, he's got to do something to get everybody talking about him. It's like that kid in the corner who's not getting attention from everybody. He needs to create attention so everybody will talk about him. Well, that's why he said it, so the media would start talking about it. And then he says he's not sure, earlier this month he said he's not sure if he can continue working with Coach Lewis, who signed his new deal. Well, guess what? If I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, Chad Lewis has no shot of being back with me on this team. Don't know if he can. I mean, you're not losing much. I'm sorry to tell you. You're just not losing much if he goes somewhere, unless he gets back to his old self. He's an average player. Chad Ocho Cinco no longer draws the, oh, my gosh, we got to stop Chad Ocho Cinco anymore. He doesn't draw that. The people don't fear him. And he's created a brand. There's no question about it. He's done for a guy who's a good player. He's not going to anybody's Hall of Fame. He's a decent player. But isn't it amazing that he's forgetting what he did? And nobody in 3 years, if he keeps playing like this, nobody's going to care about him. But he's created a brand. He's damn good at marketing himself. There's no doubt about that. Really, really good at that. And I give him a ton of credit for that. And he's not a bad guy. I think he's just insecure and sensitive. If you say anything bad about him, then you know, or there's something wrong, he gets insecure and sensitive. If you're not talking about him, he hates it, so he creates it. And then his own coach, when your own coach has you pegged like the back of his hand, I think we all know that basically he's putting a dig and saying that he, without saying it, he said that he's just an average player. Can't win any games. So tell me your feelings on that. Tell me your feelings on that. I'm curious how people feel about him. I think I know. Oh, you may like his dating show or whatever, but he spends more time now away from his day job than he does on his day job, which in turn forces you to be average and lose your day job. But he's got this Twitter and this thing down pat. He knows how to do that. He knows how to draw attention to himself. May not be the best attention, but he knows how to do it. Obama says he's picking the Bears, and he says he's going to the Super Bowl if the Bears get there. That's our president. And I've heard in the past that it bothers people. I'm wondering where you stand. Put your politics aside. Put your Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, put it aside. And tell me, do you have a problem? Like during the Final Four when he's in a pool or, you know, when he's picking his teams, I hear a lot of people are bothered. Oh, the president should be doing something else other than worrying about sports. Should he? Yeah, he does plenty of stuff, but is he not entitled to a little bit of time to, and is he not entitled to root for the Bears? Does it bother you that our president of the United States has a favorite? I'll tell you how I feel when we talk about it. But are you bothered that come NCAA tournament time, he's going to fill out his brackets? Does that bother you? Or that he's only going to the Super Bowl for the most part if the Bears win? Do you care? 888-346-9144. We're going to talk more. We'll talk quarterbacks and talk some matchups and some intangibles in this championship game weekend. Are you a Tom Brady? Why are you down on Tom Brady? Is Ocho Cinco out of line by talking about another team? Do you realize that if that was the Bengals talking about another guy under contract for the team, that they would be fined for tampering? So why is it okay for a player to talk about another team he'd like to play for while he's under contract? Double standard, huh? 888-346-9144. Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered. Give me a holler. Let me know how you're feeling. Good Friday to you, folks. Got about an hour and 45 left. Chime in and let's get after it. And why do you hate Tom Brady? I don't know. Do you? Talk to you in a few.
Yeah.
get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network. Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific. Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. Every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, man. I love doing this, and I love the opinion. My very, very good friend, SEC girl, says, I think it's cool the president openly follows his favorite team. I don't recall people bitching about George W. and the Rangers, and George was obviously part owner of the Rangers. But people do bitch. People do bitch. I'm not afraid to talk politics or religion, folks, or gender or your sexual preference. I have what I think. I don't rip those people. I don't have a problem that our president's black. Some do. I don't have a problem that our president has struggled. I wish he wouldn't. I hope things get better. I thought our president's speech at the situation in Arizona was spectacular. I don't have a problem at times telling you who I voted for. I don't care. Because I don't vote, you know, when you're growing up, are you Republican or Democrat? I vote for the best candidate. You know, I love George Bush. I know he went through some tough times, but I think he's a good man. Both Bushes are. Little Georgia, I mean, I think he's a good man. He had his struggles, and I'm going to read his book. I think President Obama, you know, and people, well, he can't talk politics. Screw that. I can talk politics all I want. And if somebody out there has a problem that's a staunch Democrat because I like George Bush, they can kiss my white ass. Seriously, I don't care. It's my opinion. It doesn't shape my life. Doesn't do anything. I got bigger fish to fry. And if somebody who's a Republican can't stand me because I said that I like President Obama's speech and that I don't have a problem if he roots for a team, they can kiss my ass too. It's so funny. I find it funny in our country how instead of all of us going for the same thing, that we're separated by party lines, by race, by gender, by sexual preference. I don't get it. Do I have my preference? Yeah. You know what? I'm never banging a guy in the ass. I'm sorry. Okay? I'm not doing it. A nice round girl's ass appeals to me a little bit more than staring at some guy's hairy ass that I gotta shave. Sorry. I ain't shaving no dude's balls. That's his business. How's that for politically incorrect? Okay? I'm just not. But you know what? I don't have a problem. If, you know, I follow the Bible and I do it, but if a law is passed that somebody wants to marry somebody within their same sex marriage, that's their business. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to beat them. Does it mean I don't like them anymore? No. Hell, I've got people that are in my business circle that are gay as a $3 bill. But greatest people I've ever met. Do anything for you. Crawl 10 miles over broken glass to make sure that you were taken care of. So in a whether it's finances, what, it doesn't matter. Just good people. Why our country has a problem with President Obama? Well, he should be working on the budget. You know what? Give me a break. The guy's got to have a life, doesn't he? I didn't vote for him, folks. Thought about it. But I'll tell you right now, had Bill Clinton a run again, crazy, I'd have voted for him. I think Bill Clinton, after being president and what he's gone through, has come so far, I actually think Bill Clinton would be a better president now. I didn't agree with some of the moral mistakes he's made, but hell, who am I to throw stones? I've made plenty of mistakes in my life, too. So I don't have a problem with, that's why it's unfiltered. I ain't trying to protect, now I protect people that are my friends. I don't throw people under the bus, but I don't have a problem emptying the bucket and telling you I don't care if somebody's gay. They ain't gonna kiss me, but I don't care. Does it bother me watching two hot women make out? Absolutely not. Does it bother me a little more seeing two guys make out? Yeah, probably. So what? Do I think President Obama has great strengths? Of course I do. He's as eloquent a speaker as we've ever had in office. On the other side of it, do I think he's great without a teleprompter? No, I think he struggles some. George Bush wasn't exactly a day at the beach when it came to giving great speeches, but I think the man's passion, I think the man cared about our country, and I think he's a lot tougher than people give him credit for. I think Bill Clinton I think when Bill Clinton sits around drinking beers with the fellas, he probably tells some pretty doggone good Oval Office wild stories. But I also think that guy loved his job as President of the United States. I don't have a problem with it. This is why I do what I do, folks. And the people who don't like me because of my opinion, then that's too bad. I'm sorry. It's a sad commentary. I got a lot of people that I love beyond a shadow of a doubt, man. Men and women that are great, dear friends, that I wouldn't agree with their opinion if you had a gun in my mouth and one to the back of my head because we just disagree. Hell, it's in my own family we disagree. But I love them. I'd never throw them under the bus. What did De Niro say in the movie? Not Untouchables. Why am I losing my mind? The not Casino. The main mafia movie. When he said two things. When he was trying to teach one of the, I don't know if it was an underboss or he said something. He goes, "You never rat out a friend, and you keep your mouth shut." Now, when he said "keep your mouth shut," I'm assuming in a mafia movie it means keep your mouth shut about what goes on around you, what you see. What you see, you don't need to talk about. And it's the same with don't rat out friends. You just don't do it. You don't do it. This getting even shit is not, it's not what I do. So you try to learn that. Maybe that's a code that a lot of athletes have, and maybe that's the greatest thing any of us ever learned, that many athletes, now there's some, but many of us in those locker rooms, we don't pillow talk. Now, I'm not a pillow talker. What goes on in my bedroom doesn't have any business of what goes on in yours. And what goes on with my friend or their life and their struggles is no business of yours. And I don't sell people out. So I don't have a problem in my sports world. That's why I don't have a problem. Now, I have a problem with people. Somebody will make a pick, and I find it fascinating when I'm reading on Facebook or something. That there are two people, and I'll put a post up there, and then there's 80 comments will come, and two people are in a major fight on my Facebook without me even. And I'm like, guys, because one made an opinion, I don't have a problem with that. Then they start getting personal. Well, you're this, you're that. And it's like, stop it. It's a stupid-ass Facebook post. It's sports. Now, you two clowns are fighting over the fact that you hate Brady and you love Ben, or, you know, make your point, have a few laughs, don't make it personal, and move on. It's a stupid-ass Facebook post, you buffoons. But people are so, now trying to get somebody to change your way, that's the sign of a good analyst. That's what my job was on TV. greatest compliment I ever got. Well, one of them, or two of them, Michael Strahan. Before he got his job at Fox, he said, many of the things that I'm going to do on TV, and I don't mean this arrogant, I'm just saying I'm still moved by it. I saved it. It was great for Mike. He said some of the things, he goes, your passion, the way you prepare, your opinion, the things that I'm going to do on TV, I learned most of it watching you. And when he told me that, I got goosebumps, man. And he sent that text to me, and he told me in person, hugged me, said, you're great. I love it. I'm a big fan of Mike's. Hell, obviously, Mike and I, you know, Mike was in the league when I was still broadcasting, too. And he came up, I remember we were in New York, and he said, bruh, I got to tell you. He goes, sometimes I'm watching you, and I'm thinking, man, does Sean really believe that? And is he really thinking that? And then he goes, even if it's our own team, Sean, or if it's about me. He said, 30 seconds into your statement and to your passion, he goes, you got me believing something that when you started, I was on a different side of the fence. He goes, by the time you're done after 45 seconds, you got me convinced on my own team or in my own game that that's what I'm supposed to do. And you know what? That's the greatest compliment I ever got because that's what I do. Trying to convince people on TV that something is the way it should be. And now I prepare. I don't just throw crap against the wall and hope it sticks. A lot of my comments are based on fact. The funny thing about it is that players that get sensitive or something, I may say something like this receiver's hands, he drops too many balls in practice and the focus isn't there, and they'll wonder why you say it. Well, you know who told me? One of their offensive coaches or one of their teammates. I don't just throw stuff against the wall and hope it sticks without preparing and studying. Most of my comments are based on about 98% info I got from somebody close to them. And then I form my own opinion. Now, some of them a strong opinion. If it's like right after a game and you haven't talked to anybody, I can see it. I study it. I prepare for it. I put in the work. My point is that when you don't make things personal, who cares? I got best friends. Are we all supposed to be cut from the same? What a boring, screw-it-up life that would be. Because you like Clinton and I like Bush, or I like Clinton and you like Obama, or like who? Okay, great. Because you're religious, or I'm religious, and you're not. I mean, if I don't, I'm not going to shove a Bible down somebody's throat if they don't want it. But I'm also not going to not love them because the doggone guy doesn't want to read the Bible. Big deal. It's his business. Still love him for different reasons. Doesn't matter. And it comes with picking games. I never have a problem. As a matter of fact, I pick games. This week, and I'm going to tell you now, and I'll pick it at the end, I'm picking Pittsburgh and Green Bay. Now watch, Chicago fans and New York fans, through the roof. I got a death threat sent to ESPN, was going to bludgeon my family. Like they read it to me. They had to call me in and say, this is very real. They had to track the guy down via who sent it, because I picked against his team, and he went on for four paragraphs talking about bludgeoning my kids and my family. And I'm not kidding you. A death threat. That's how whacked out some of these nutbags are. The truth is, I'm picking Green Bay and Pittsburgh, but I don't give a fuzzy rat's ass if they lose or not. They're not paying me. I'd like to see them win. I picked Green Bay in August, but if they lose, you think I'm going to come back pouting and having to apologize that the Packers lost or won? I don't care. Doesn't mean that I don't care about football and about them, and I know the Packer fans care, but it's not going to ruin my 2011 if the Packers don't win the Super Bowl. It may ruin Aaron Rodgers. He plays. He plays. Just like you guys aren't overly concerned if I change jobs or have another job. Oh, man, good for Sean. Or what? You know, do you care what car I drive? Maybe some of you do. If you do, then you're whacker, more whack than I am. Point being is we take this stuff so serious. Now, if you're betting $500,000 on the Packers, then you're just dumb, okay? Or you got big balls and know what you're doing. So am I against Chicago and New York? Would I have a problem with the Jets and the Bears in the Super Bowl? No. Not one bit. But the fact that we make this stuff personal, so that's why we're on here. So we want to talk about Obama. Shouldn't our president be allowed to say he has dirty thoughts of another woman? He didn't act on him. Who doesn't? Hell, you don't think he fantasizes and wants to bang Halle Berry? Hell, do you? What's the difference? What, because he's president, all of a sudden somebody put a little a voodoo on him and said, you're not allowed to think about that, only Michelle? Well, now you know why he has 30 thoughts. I don't know if he does. I'm assuming he does, but you're going to impeach him because he does? And now you're going to get mad at him because, oh, he loves the Bears? So what? It's his home crowd. He didn't know at 12 he was going to be president of the United States. He's supposed to stop because fans don't like it? If you don't like him, don't vote for his ass. Just don't make it so personal. We'll talk more about that. A lot of sports, a lot of opinion today. Just the judgmental, it just drives me nuts. You have an opinion, I got an opinion. You're not changing my opinion on how I vote. Only the president or would-be president is. You're not. I don't care if you don't like the way I vote. Coming right back. It's Sean Southbury Unfiltered.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iRadioBlog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
It says, I'm Republican for the most part, but I'd vote for Clinton in a heartbeat. No question.
Yeah, like I said, this isn't a show about the presidents who we'd vote for, but I brought it up, and I love that. Thank you. I'm past the point of voting for party line. I vote for who's going to make our country do the best. And you know what? Every president that's ever been on this planet has screwed up. Damn, I want you to take the pressure you're under at work. And I want you to multiply that and consider you've got 280 million people in our own, and then in our own, in being the commander in chief, and then take that and run that. But you also got to be able to shake hands and kiss babies across the world. It ain't an easy job. I don't always agree with what any president does. But this, oh my gosh, he's not allowed to pick his final four. Are not allowed to go through a pool or a pick'em or, you know, fill out his brackets because he's a president. Shouldn't he be working? No, he shouldn't. Matter of fact, I'm quite sure that the president deserves some time off. Now, you may not agree that a guy deserves 30 vacations or what have you, but you know what? I don't have a problem with him picking his brackets and his favorite team or favorite coach. I don't have a problem that President Obama loves the Bears and wants to root for the Bears and will go to the Super Bowl if the Bears are in it and openly roots for them. I don't have a problem with that. Does that mean he's going to favor Chicago over California in his politics? Come on now, let's not be too stupid. Because he likes the Bears, so what? The governor of Wisconsin's not supposed to root for the Packers. He has his team. Well, like I'm rooting for the Steelers and the Packers because that's who I think's going to win. Do I have a problem if either other team wins? Nah, I don't. Final Four, good. If the Bears get there, good for them. Chicago's a great sports town. And it'll be a great story because nobody to thunk it. And if the Jets go win with a young quarterback and Rex Ryan, think about all the Super Bowl banner you're going to get if Rex Ryan's at that media day. I want you to think about that. So that's kind of fun. So it doesn't matter. I don't have a problem with the president voting, like I said. And you know what? 2 years from now when we vote again, if I don't think President Obama's the best candidate, I won't vote for his ass, and I don't care. Well, why didn't you vote for him? You don't like him? He did great. Well, that's your opinion. That's fine. I got my opinion. Do I think he's kicked ass as the president? Absolutely not. Do I think he's done some good things? Absolutely. Do I think it'd be a shitty job to have? You bet. Some of the side perks, I don't think President Obama's going to pay for a ticket at the game. But you know what? I don't care who he likes and picks. And if you got a problem with me over my picks, and make it personal, because I'm not picking your Chicago Bears or your New York Jets. Do you actually, in your wildest dreams, think you keep me up at night because you don't like that I picked Roethlisberger over Sanchez? I'll give you all the points as I have of why the Jets are good and why they can win. But I'm picking Pittsburgh and Green Bay because, in my analysis, those are the two best teams of the Final Four. And it will not shock me if the Bears and Jets win. Nor should it in a Final Four because these teams are pretty evenly matched. So what's going to separate them? So you hate Tom Brady. Why? Did this foot injury stress fracture make his season even more spectacular that he played with, having surgery? And do you have a problem with our president being rooting for a team? I don't. And Ocho Cinco and Marvin Lewis are not going to have a good working relationship. But why doesn't the NFL get to fine players who basically tamper with other teams? Ocho Cinco tweeted, I guess is what we call it, that he could see himself with the New England Patriots. Marvin Lewis said, well, he just likes to talk because he's not getting attention, basically. I'm summarizing, and that, you know, when you say something, maybe you want to win some games and people will pay attention to you. And we know that Chad craves all that, and he's forgot what his day job's all about. Become just an average player. Fun guy, good guy, could become a good player again if he refocused himself. But I don't see how. Now, if Marvin Lewis said, man, I'd love to have Danny Woodhead on my team. Love to have him. Want him, and I'm looking into his deal. And if he's under contract, you can't tamper like that. Why do you think that they got to be very careful what they say about the Carmelo Anthony? You can't tamper with people's players under contract. So why is it okay for a player to do it? We have such double standards in the league. Let's get out to Anthony in New York. Anthony, what's going on today, buddy?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Oh, good. I'm just fired up. I find it fascinating how many people, number one, take, if somebody picks against their team, they take it personal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me. I just look at some of these posts and I'm thinking, gosh dang, why does this person care if a Pittsburgh fan's not rooting
right
for... If a Pittsburgh fan's not rooting for Chicago, why is the person mad at the Pittsburgh fans? So what?
Yeah,
you know what?
Yeah,
Pittsburgh Steelers don't have to take a backseat to any franchise on the planet, folks. Guess why? Because they're wearing the most Super Bowl rings.
Mm-hmm.
And they can laugh at you all they want. Until you're in their category, they can consider themselves America's team all they want.
Yep.
So two things real quick. I know, Chelsea, we got people listening at the Oakland University in Detroit, and I'm grateful. Chick-fil-A in the Midwest, grateful. Thank you, Tabitha. We got people listening all over. Spreading the word, my man. So what's going on in New York City today?
Oh, actually, I don't know if this made national news. It was pretty big here in New York, but I figured you'd find it interesting. They had another big mob roundup yesterday. Did you hear
about
it?
I heard. Big what? This a bunch of mob bosses and 16 or 20 or somewhere in that range of mob members. To explain what happened so people know.
Well, essentially what happened was, and basically, 100, I think it was 127 was the number out of like five of the major crime families, Lucchese, Gambino, they went crazy. Yesterday, they rounded them up. It was here in the city. It was in Jersey and in New England. They supposedly wrapped, brought in a whole bunch of people on murder raps from 8 years ago. It was on a whole bunch of charges. It's really hard to find exactly what, because the FBI was involved with it.
But racketeering, all that
right.
stuff, right?
Yeah, but the local authorities went in and actually made the arrest. So actually, I saw it came up on the news yesterday here, and it kind of angers me a little bit because I'm watching this, and I say, okay, it took you whatever. This is 12 years worth of surveillance. And, I'd like to see a figure on how many millions of dollars these people put in to bring in 100 people that for essentially really don't affect on the streets, you and I, when here in New York, and here's my major problem with it. Here in New York, we have a major problem with employment and immigration and whatever. And people here turn a blind eye. You could turn up to any construction site in the city and deport 500 illegals. But that's not a big arrest. You know, whereas we'll spend 12 years and millions of dollars to bring down one mob boss.
And you know what's funny? They'll spend 12 years, but for about 8 of them, they knew that there was trouble.
Yeah.
And then the last 4 just spending money, just kind of waiting so they can get 4 more people involved. You know what I mean?
That's
exactly right, my man. Yeah. You are barking up a tree that unfortunately you and I ain't ever going to win.
No.
And you and I both know that because it's like all you got to do is turn on TV.
Yep.
It's amazing to me that you'll see those and they'll say, well, you know, come and work a deal with us. There can be some guy who broke a law.
Yep.
But if you can feed them the bigger drug boss and get 3 people, then instead of going to prison for 10 years, we'll let you go for 2, even though you're a scumbag and you're feeding drugs to kids. But we're going to let it off because you're going to sell out somebody above you, which to me absolutely makes no sense.
No.
So a guy can be a dirtbag, but we limit his time so we can sell out the dirtbag who hired the dirtbag?
Right.
It baffles my mind. Oh, dude, when all this talk, I don't – our decisions in government and the rest of it, I don't, by any stretch of the imagination, you know, in law and in justice system, I don't agree with a lot of it.
Right.
And I don't agree with the elite. Believe me, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. We can have a full 2-hour, 2-week show.
Oh, yeah.
On illegal immigration and what we should do at our borders and mafia this and construction workers that and unions this and why does this and who gets hired here and, you know, all these things. And it sucks, especially when it directly affects you.
Right, exactly. I mean, we have bigger problems in this country with people getting guns like the psychopaths in Arizona. And meanwhile, you know, a mob hit, it sounds, like I said, we've spoken about this before, it sounds bad, but... You know what? They're killing somebody from their own family or somebody else's family. They're not killing your kids. They're not killing somebody from my family. It's, you know what I mean? It's like I said, it's like the working man's police force.
Anthony, no. I don't condone any of that, but I can tell you this. I'd rather have them kill each other than kill somebody innocent.
Believe me.
Yeah, and people say, that's cold-blooded. We don't want any death. You know what? I'm sorry to tell you. If a guy commits a crime and gets off easy and goes to jail, I hope that the prisoners rip him to shreds and we don't have to hear about him. I'm an eye for an eye guy.
I'm right with
our
you.
Justice system. You want to rape a kid? I hope your ass gets raped sick in prison. That's just me. You want to abuse a woman? I hope that they treat you like their bitch in prison and abuse the hell out of you. I don't have a problem with that. And it's the same with this. If the Gambino family's fighting among each other and some guy's a dirtbag and harms somebody's family or does something and he takes out one of his own who's a dirtbag anyway, then you know what? Keeping the streets clean.
Yep.
I tell you what, better them than my kid.
Right.
Okay, so no offense. Sorry, folks. Yep, that's exactly right. One person's loss is another person's gain. And if that's what it takes, because it ain't ever going away.
Right.
You cut off one head, 2 more grow. So it's not going away. Mm-hmm. And I don't condone it. I don't condone illegal act. None of that. I don't mean that. But I know what you're saying, that it's like two rapists.
Mm-hmm.
If one of them's going to rape the other one and kill him, all we've done, in my opinion, is eliminated one of the rapists. Good for you.
Right.
You know when that lady drove her kids into the lake? Was it Susan Smith? What was her name?
Oh, that was a while ago.
Blamed it on what black guys, you know, blamed it on African Americans or something.
Yeah.
I can't even remember. The story's so old.
I remember the
vivid feelings I had about that. Her standing up there crying, blaming it on some race or some color and somebody else.
Yep.
And that she strapped her kids in the car seats and drove them in the water.
Yep.
Now you tell me we shouldn't have strapped her in there and done the same damn thing to her.
Right. No.
Sean, you're horrible. No, I'm not horrible. You would have saved taxpayers' dollars and saved the world from a very, very, from a friggin' nutbag. Hang on, Anthony. We got 2 minutes. We'll come back. We'll talk more about it. I understand. See, I love this show. We don't just talk sports. We went from talking Obama being a Bears fan to now eye for an eye that the wackos in this world, eliminate them, man. Eliminate them. Just like this dude in Arizona. He doesn't have a right to a fair trial. And if you never watched Scared Straight and Beyond Scared Straight, every kid that's in school, from elementary school to high school, should have to watch this. Because if this doesn't keep you out of prison as a teenager, then guess what? You're going to probably end up in prison. That's how screwed up you are. I'm Sean Salisbury. Anthony will come back and finish up his comments. Grateful for all the new listeners out there. You guys are awesome. I'm Sean Salisbury. This is Voice America Sports, and we are unfiltered and having a great time. And Sabrina, thank you. Glad you're listening, too. I love this. Spread it wide, folks. Unfiltered's coming at you in your face.
Eye for an eye.
We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds
left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's S-E-A-N-S-A-L-S at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, grateful for new peeps listening in California, Arizona. Obviously, my folks in the Midwest and Michigan, get some new ones in Wisconsin. Also out in Florida, New York City. I'm just going through the list. Love them. Love it. It's growing. We got some new stuff coming up for you here in the new year and right after the Super Bowl that you'll be excited. And eventually, I'll have to actually, you know, this long, wavy hair that I have now that's growing, I'll have to actually comb it or put a hat on it because we're going to come at you not just through this internet radio, which will be in cars, as we know, as a regular basis for the next, 12 to 18 months. You'll be able to listen to internet radio on this show, but you can catch it on the iPhone. You can catch it, you know, on iTunes, all that. But also on VoiceAmericaSports.com, you catch the podcast if your friend missed it, and catch the re-airs and be coming at you with our mug on, little of this too. So we'll be able to put little audio and video together, and you'll be able to see just what it's like waking up this in the morning. And I'll be in your living room, in your bars, and Chick-fil-A all over the place. So hope you're enjoying it, and hope you're having a good day. Anthony's right back with me. We're talking about it, and I love it because we know that this is a sports show, but you know what? We kind of deviate from it, and not too far from it. It went from President Obama rooting for the Bears to the Mafia taking care of their own and taking out their own if it's a problem. So, Anthony, what else is on your mind today, my man? What's happening?
Let's see. Well, actually, I just wanted to give you my Super Bowl pick quick.
Okay, please do.
I'm with you. I like the Steelers and Packers also.
One reason in each game.
I think, like I told you the other day, I think the Jets are shot. I just don't see them getting up for this one, and the other reason is
they blew their load against the Patriots.
That's what I think, and okay. then and I look at it from the standpoint of the Steelers are by far the best defense they've played so far. You know, you look at the Colts, the Patriots, defense was their question, whether they'd be able to hold up. This is a team, you know, the defense is going to bring it.
Yep.
This is going to be the most pressure on Sanchez, and I don't see Roethlisberger turning the ball over. He just doesn't do that. You know, so
he doesn't choke.
The pressure doesn't bother him.
Nope.
You know?
As a matter of fact, when blood pressure goes up and the pressure of the game goes up,
mm-hmm.
his blood pressure seems to go down. It's almost as if he's waiting for that moment. You know what I mean?
Right.
And a lot of guys, when it's 21 to nothing, you can kind of just roll with it and it's easy. But when the great ones, Montana was that way. I guarantee if you did a study on them,
mm-hmm.
you know how they'll do a stress test when you're trying to check your heart out and your cholesterol, all that. Doctor, they'll put you on a treadmill and hook you up to wires and see how your heart holds up and those things
right.
to see and how quickly you recover. Mm-hmm. I would bet you if you put under those situations, I think it'd be a great study. I wish you could do it. I wish there was a way that they could, you know, in a game, wire up a player like they do that, but not where it doesn't affect the player like a Brady, like
right.
a Manning, like a rookie quarterback, and put him in Ben Roethlisberger and measure it. Kind of test in a regular season game when the going gets tough, how, you know, if they won by 40 and then the next week they're down by 3 with 3 minutes to go or a minute to go.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, and I would be willing to bet my life on it, that a study, that it would be obvious that the guys who were the best under pressure, it would show on that study. We'd understand that that you wouldn't see many more heartbeats per minute on Ben Roethlisberger under pressure as you would when Ben Roethlisberger was up 24 to nothing. I would venture, as a matter of fact, maybe even less. I don't think you can develop that, Anthony. I think you're born with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's obvious, and there's no question in my mind that certain guys, Elway was like that.
Right.
Played better when it was bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, played better. So, and when I say bad situation, pressure situation, I'll bet you if you could find a way to do a study and a player would let you,
mm-hmm.
just like they do on concussions, or stick one of those, develop a monitor in their helmet that didn't affect them, but you could measure brain waves and whatever it is.
Yeah.
They could measure their heart rate and stuff and how they are under pressure. I'll bet you that I can mm-hmm. take the three or four best quarterbacks in this league and stick them with, you know, guys like me that played and started, or maybe a middle-of-the-road starter, and or a guy that doesn't play well under pressure, and I'll bet you that you'll see that the results will be blatantly clear under a study like that. I believe they would.
No, absolutely. You know, measure heart rate or whatever in a key
yep.
situation and see what, you know, that right there. Just measure
and measure heart rate would be easy. You know, you
yeah.
could actually easily, you know, get away with that, put some monitor on, you know, on a player or something and actually
yep.
measure them. I'd love to see a study done. Take my five best quarterbacks and my five quarterbacks on the worst teams or guys that are just middle-of-the-road starters and stick a monitor on them one game and see throughout the course of a game, measure their heart rate, and then looking at the clock and understanding when the pressure went up and down. And I'll bet you'd see the result of why these quarterbacks
mm-hmm.
are better than the quarterbacks who are 8-8 and 6-9 and aren't great under pressure. I'll bet you we'd see it.
Right, no doubt about it. And then going on to Chicago and Green Bay, the way I look at it, Green Bay's hot right now. You know, you look at the two games that Cutler played versus Green Bay this year. He played, you know, the second game didn't mean anything, but the team still played. He had two of his worst outings of the year, even one of them in a win. Didn't play very well. He should have had about 6 interceptions in that game versus Green Bay. I just think, you know, Green Bay's defense, they'll be able to, I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I don't see Green Bay dropping 49 on them. But I definitely think Green Bay will score enough. And I think, you know, Cutler, he still scares me. You know, Seattle's defense, they were terrible last week. You know, I don't see him making that big throw in the big spot. I've never seen him do it. You know, the touchdown pass he threw, he played, you know, Griffith, he played okay last week. But I don't see him doing it versus a Green Bay defense. It's a lot, much, you know, the best one
yeah,
I've seen.
You know what I think that what happens, and here's the craziness about it, is we know Mike Martz likes to do some different things protection-wise, sometimes unsound things. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? He'll leave free runners coming in, and Cutler is Cutler needs protection. That's he needs to. Now Jay can move around a little bit, but he'll be thrown off his back foot if he gets hit early in the game.
Yes.
And so with Matt, the relentless pursuit that the Packers put on you,
mm-hmm.
and with you know their defensive core, what is it? The Dom Capers, I guess it is. That the way that they approach
mm-hmm.
and attack you, that it's going to be one of the, let's talk about the stress and the blood pressure. This is going to be one of those you can't rest against them. They are relentless.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt in my mind that the defense that the Packers bring at them, and even if they're not the best defense, they sure play with some of the great energy. You know, Tremont Williams got elected to the Pro Bowl because Asante Samuel's hurt now, And so he won't be going
anyway.
You put him back there with Woodson.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff. I agree with you, buddy. I agree.
Yeah, those. And then I meant to ask you a couple times this week. It just slipped my mind. With Josh McDaniels, we spoke about it last week, going to St. Louis. You know, he's going to be the offensive coordinator. And you said both of us agreed that they both needed a big play threat. What do you think the chances of, since last year they were going to sign Terrell Owens? You know,
hold
it
that
came
thought.
Close. You know,
hold that thought. Can you come back for a few more minutes?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, hold that thought. Quick break. We'll come back. I know where you're going with this, and I want you to finish your question so people hear it. This is Voice America Sports, 888-346-9144. Got an hour in the books. Anthony Perrano, who always has great in-depth insights on this, he's got the Packers and the Steelers. Then we'll pin him down and figure who he's. We'll let the week go prior to the Super Bowl and then make the pick the Friday before the Super Bowl, but who's going to win? But we'll come right back. We'll talk St. Louis Rams and Sam Bradford and Josh McDaniels coming right back. Do you care that the president is a Bears fan or that he roots for his team? I don't. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, did you know Voice America has partnered with the Kidstar Network to expand their reach through Voice America Kids? Voice America Kids will feature talk radio for kids by kids, along with special event programming and live broadcasts. Each program is conveniently archived for on-demand listening at any time. Please check our archives for the latest events and happenings on VoiceAmericaKids.com.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Again, thanks all over the country for the new listeners. I appreciate you. Anthony's joining me, and I make this point again, folks out there, that do we have to try and shape everybody's opinion to the point where you're mad if you didn't vote for President Obama, which I don't care, I give a fuzzy rat's ass, and probably at this point he doesn't either because he won. He may ask you the same thing in 2 years. But do you really care? Now, here's what I believe. I believe that the people that like the president don't care that he votes, or if they voted for the president, don't care that he picks and chooses the Bears and likes to, you know, get involved in sports and likes to fill out his brackets during March Madness. I believe the people that didn't vote for him have a problem with it. I didn't vote for him, and I don't have a problem with it. I agree with some of the things he does. I don't agree with some of the things he does. I'm not worried if somebody doesn't like me because I voted for him, because if Bill Clinton would have ran the last time that George Bush, and I've, and And I think George Bush did a good job. I think he made a lot of mistakes. I think he's a good man. It's a sucky position to be in, being the President of the United States, because you can't make everybody happy, let alone half the country or the world. But you know what? If Bill Clinton would have ran when I didn't vote for Clinton the first time around, but had he ran against Bush and Obama, judging from the way I've seen him make the transformation, and I think he'd be a better president this time around too, I'd have voted for him. So I don't really care that the president picks the Chicago Bears. And I think that we don't judge people on, oh, that's okay, man, he's a sports fan, that's cool. Because I say to you, if you're a sports fan right now and all of a sudden we're elected president, are you really worried that if you vote for the Pittsburgh Steelers and go watch them play, that, oh my gosh, I may not get the vote in Wisconsin next year? Stop. Or in 2 years, whatever, stop. Have we really come to that? That we're going to we vilify people because they have a favorite team, so we don't think they should be voting for that team because we don't think they should? How dare you? Let's get back out to Anthony in New York. All right, my man, you're talking about Josh McDaniels being named offensive coordinator in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You're talking about here's a team that, you know, will improve their schedule. I mean, they improved 6 games to 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
And do you wonder, you're asking yourself, okay, they needed a big play. Do you need a big play receiver and a big play guy? And that you thought that Josh McDaniels would be great.
Yeah.
To have, I mean, some new blood and some Patriots background and some offense for Sam Bradford and change in a system if, in fact, he was going to change a system or if it was a West Coast guy to a normal offense guy. You like the move.
Right.
And you want more weapons on the outside. So what was your question going to be focused on?
Well, my thing is, you know, Randy Moss had his greatest season with McDaniels as offensive coordinator.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure did.
And the thing is, with the main difference between Moss and Owens is you look at players who played with Randy Moss, and they'll tell you that he's a great teammate. Maybe a jerk-off to the coaches, but as far as to the teammates, like Percy Harvin said, for the 3 weeks that he was in Minnesota, it was the greatest teammate he had ever had. You know,
right. Oh, very few people complain about Randy, the teammate.
I think he makes perfect – I mean, it's a team on the rise. He goes to the NFC West. You would immediately have to make them the favorite if he goes there. You know, you can play Arizona twice a year and Seattle, who have no secondaries. You know, I just think that's to me, and the fact that St. Louis is willing to sign Owens last year, you know, they were close to doing it, I don't think that the character risk really plays to them. I think Randy Moss winds up in St. Louis. Do you see it?
I can very easily see it because if you're – let's – you know, I know Moss probably really, really likes Jeff Fisher. Who wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
But Randy Moss, once he left Minnesota this year, disappeared. I don't think he had 10 catches, did he?
No, he got like 5 or 6.
Yeah, so he disappeared. And you're right back into it. Who's going to quarterback the Tennessee Titans in 2011?
Who knows? They're not the draft one.
So if you're Randy Moss and you're thinking, okay, we just fired Chuck Cecil, our defensive coordinator. We've had some major changes. Vince Young's not going to be here. We go, and then Jeff Fisher's a great coach, and I get why you'd want to be there. Our offense is kind of in disarray. Randy is one of those guys that needs to be involved early.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where can I go that, oh, I like playing indoors. I did in Minnesota all those years. Who needs a big play guy and a big play threat that now that we won 7 games, they're not going to be drafted in the first 8 or 9 picks?
Right.
So we got a quarterback who's an up-and-comer who put up huge numbers, and you got the guy who put me in position to have my greatest year. If it wasn't the best, it wasn't third in my career.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
With Tom Brady is good. Now, Brady may be a little better than Sam Bradford, but they're similar players in the pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm being facetious. Obviously, Brady's better than Bradford. But
yes.
Why, if you're St. Louis, why wouldn't you?
It makes perfect sense.
Right. And at this stage of his career, you would hope that Randy may be beyond, you know, trying to, you know, argue with coaches. And maybe not. And that may just continue to be his M.O. But players who have played in the locker room with him have never questioned his dedication. And football smarts. Matter of fact, some people call him one of the really the smarter football people they've ever been around.
Yeah, no, he's no dummy.
Yeah, so he could actually, if he's willing to work and show people how to do it, get some guys up and running. And you know what? Randy has his issues, but we don't ever hear him fighting with players. He doesn't sell his own players out.
Nope.
Yeah, you know, and he's insubordinate sometimes, obviously with coaches, but players respond to him.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that sticking him indoors with Sam Bradford and Josh McDaniels, and if you're Josh McDaniels, don't you go to Steve Spagnuolo and the Rams organization and say, guys, bring him in here. He'll have no problem fitting in with me.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, with the presence of McDaniels there, I just think, you know, if they can get a Moss, and then I'm, you know, I started looking at the the draft projections, you know, which is kind of stupid to do from now because, you know, there's been no pre-draft workouts or anything. But, you know, a lot of people have Julio Jones somehow slipping to the middle of the first round. I don't know why. But if you can draft a Julio Jones and sign a Randy Moss, all of a sudden your offense is, I mean, right there. I mean,
If you get a veteran with that you have to respect with game breaking speed and Moss, and then you get what I would consider, even though he's not on a passing team, I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, a lot of receivers get more pub.
Yeah.
As I said at the beginning of the year, Julio Jones, you watch and see, he's going to be an NFL beast.
He's the best. I think he's better than AJ Green.
I think he's the best receiver in college football.
I'm right with you.
If you would have taken him and stuck him in a school at a place where they throw the football,
right?
Or where it's not just focused on physical running and Nick Saban offense. I'm going to see Julio Jones. If he gets six catches in a game, that's a spectacular performance.
But
you stick
Alabama,
him
yeah.
in Georgia. You stick him in a place where they're putting the ball in the air and doing it. I believe Julio Jones is the best receiver in college football. Now he's not going to be drafted first because of the statistics and
yeah.
the PR and the pub. But I'm telling you what, that's a bad man. So if you got those two and were able to pull that off,
yep.
And I get a text from a friend that says, "What about Kyle Orton in Tennessee?" You know, and Tennessee's fired what, three or four coaches in the last 48 hours. So
yeah.
they're replacing people. But so if Orton goes there, no offense to Kyle Orton, he can throw it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm Randy Moss, I still say I like this up and coming Sam Bradford kid.
Right.
And then you go out and draft a receiver, and now you've put Josh McDaniels, and then you take Amendola and move him inside and use him like Wes Welker. You're starting to develop something here now with a team that's already to improve six wins.
Yep,
overnight. That's pretty damn good.
No, yeah, it. I just think it's the way they should go. And well, Julio Jones. To me, he reminds me of with the way his body's built and the size. He reminds me of Andre Johnson.
There's no question about it. Big, physical, run after the catch. Now he may not have the. I mean, he's physical. Now Andre Johnson, I stood next to. That's a full grown man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but we're talking about you. Now we're talking about the best receiver in football.
Yes.
When he's healthy. So yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. The big arms, the long reach, the tall body, the athleticism to go get it. He's physical enough to run a slant route, and you can hang all over him, and he can push you off and make a play. And he's also fast and finesse enough that if you want to play press coverage after he throws you by side, putting a move on you and running right by your ass, and after he catches it, finishing. No, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that when you're talking about the comparisons and say, okay, I kind of see him because of his body type, there's no doubt. And you know what? Although he's thick, a little bit thicker, like Calvin Johnson. Now, Calvin's a different type of athlete. That's a different breed. But the new wave of receiver in this league, as you know, for the most part, while we got the Welkers and the Amendolas, but these guys, it's like the Cromarties at corner. I mean, the guys that are getting drafted, these receivers are 6'5", 230, 35 pounds, running 4.4s. I mean, it's nuts.
Yep.
And Julio Jones is a big, strong beast. You're exactly right. Coming out of the same body type that Andre Johnson is. And if he goes to a place where they throw it, this is the type of guy who'd go out there and give you 70 catches as a rookie. There's no question.
Yeah, I think he's the best one that I've seen come out since Calvin Johnson.
Oh, me too. And I think if you have an early run on receivers, let's say like an AJ Green's drafted, say the sixth pick, just for fun. I don't even know who's picking. I mean, I haven't looked at it enough yet because it's still too early while we're still in this season. But let's say AJ Green's picked in the first seven or eight, just for fun.
Which he should be, yeah.
Which if somebody needs, why wouldn't you? I mean, if you're a Cleveland Browns type of team,
yep.
You know what? Why wouldn't you snatch a guy? You need a big play guy.
Yeah.
So if you snatch him up, or a Buffalo team that you say, man, stick another guy like that. I mean, you're going to grab a guy like that pretty early, I would think. So for me, then you know how that goes. Then we have a run on him because people start to panic.
Yep.
They start to say, damn, okay, we got this guy, but this guy could. I got to take him, and it could get to the point where a team says, you know what, screw it. I really didn't want to take Julio Jones here, but I'm not passing him up. He was a second on my board, but man, they're going to run on him because if we trade it down, he may not be there. Bam, you snatch him up. So he's as sure a pick as there. If I took seven or eight guys in this draft and said, okay, give me a guy that you have that unless something crazy happens is not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I would take. I mean, unless something crazy happens, will be successful. Julio Jones. There's no way I'd get past 10 players without pushing him in there and saying, you know, while there's no guarantees. To me, he's as close to a guarantee at the wide receiver position as there is in this draft.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I haven't, here in New York, I don't get to see Georgia much, so I didn't get to see A.J. Green play that
great
much.
Great player. Great player.
Right.
And they love him, and when you see him more, you'll love him too. But mm-hmm. you're not too far off in your pick saying that you like Julio Jones better. I can't argue with you on that at all.
Yeah. I love Julio Jones, and that's
me and you both, man. And well, think about this: he's got two of the best five running backs in the country on his own team,
right? Exactly. You know,
and a quarterback McElroy who's smart, but they don't live and die by the throw. They run the football and mix in the pass. Where a lot of colleges these days and age throw the football and mix in the run. So heck, he'd have had better numbers in Auburn and playing for Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have better numbers there. So
this
guy's a special talent. So since he was a freshman, I've been touting him and saying, I'm going to tell you guys what, if you don't know when he first came in, I said, if you don't know this guy, mm-hmm. open your eyes and watch, because this is a beast. And I think he's going to be a beast at the next level, no question about it.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Sean.
Buddy, so you got Packers, Steelers,
yep.
and then we'll make that pick, obviously, in the next couple weeks as we break it down and head towards Super Bowl. I hope you have a great weekend.
All right, you
and,
too.
And I'll check in with you on Monday.
All right, Sean. Have
appreciate
a good one.
Anthony. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Hang in there. That's Anthony Perennial, one of my favorite people. Good man. You know, one of the things I'm so blessed and so grateful for on this, to be able to do this job, is, you know, you meet people on Facebook or you meet people and, you know, and I don't do a lot of socializing outside this job. You guys, I'm so energetic and so into this job and passionate about it. I know you guys probably think he hops off here and runs down and walking down the street and shaking people's hands. I don't go out. So my social life outside kids is basically, you know, being a dad is right here, is for the most part going to a movie, hanging around a couple good friends. But I don't, so when 11 o'clock Central Time hits, I'm back into my introverted, protective, stay-away mode, and that's just me. That's me. But on this show, I love it because, you know what, I would have never known a guy like Anthony or AC or some of these people who've called in, and then, you know, James or D-Man, I would have never been able to develop a relationship or friends with these guys had I not known. And listen to a guy like Anthony, I feel like I've known him for 50 years, even though I'm not even 50, or 20 years, or like he was a high school buddy of mine. It's weird how this job, that the greatest thing about this job is that you get to be passionate, talk sports, and cut it loose. But you really meet some pretty cool people that you really don't meet, but you meet them. And on the phone. And so I feel I'm blessed to be able to do this job. I really am. The only two things in the world that I would want to do, I mean, I have three things, is I love to give motivational speeches and go and talk to universities. I've done it at Miami of Ohio and go to places. I've spoken to General Motors at their national sales meeting. I mean, I love doing that because I like to teach and I like to see people, you know, to change people's thought process or to motivate, or if I got to get in their ass or if I got to pat them on the back. I obviously love teaching youth to play football or high school, or I train quarterbacks on the side, but I love the coaching part of it too. I would, and as much as I love this show, if I got a call from Andy Reid tomorrow and said, hey, could you come here and be an offensive consultant, I'd be gone tomorrow just because it's a new phase. Now, I wouldn't be gone. I'd still pop on and do all these things, but I love that. And then I love the broadcasting part. Other than that, folks, I like to cook and do it all, but I'm not real good at much. I'm really not. I like to think I'm fairly smart, but you know what? Some may think I'm a buffoon. I'm not even a household name in my own home. So but that's what I love to do. So I'm so grateful that I get a chance to come on this show. I really am. And to talk what I love to talk about. And then it doesn't have to be sports. I just like people's insight. I always love it when I throw out a guy-girl question and people are texting or emailing or sending in, you know, their questions or their answers about, you know, when we had that topic, are you a snuggler or not? I mean, are you like that? And, you know, or do you like your side of the bed? It was great. Or if you had four people to interview and you could have a round table with them, who are you in history? Who would be your four living people, actor or singer, that you'd want to sit down with and just have a round table chat with? You know, when we do those conversations, I love it because you find some certain things out. And it's about this Obama situation, too. I find it every year that I find people bitching and complaining that the guy fills out a bracket. Why is that such a bad thing? Do you think he's supposed to, as the President of the United States, work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? If he did that, he'd be far less effective, whether you think he's effective or not. He wouldn't be any good at his job. Isn't he entitled to a life and to raise a kid and to play with his dog and to pick the Bears? And it had nothing to do with politics. I could care less. I don't agree with all his politics.
I don't care. Like I said on the show before, when are we as a country going to sit back and quit trying to elect these frauds that piss in our face and tell us it's raining? Do you people think because just do it now? Here's where you're. Here's where we're all ignorant. You hear the word politician, and we automatically think supposed to be perfect. You should hear the word politician and say, "Oh hell, as imperfect as it gets." That's what you should be saying, because the word politics and perfection, or politics and poise, they don't go hand in hand. So when are we as a country going to, when the election comes around, whether it's President Obama or Clinton or Bush or Abraham Lincoln, whoever, when are we finally going to get to a point where we elect a person that's like us? Maybe a little smarter. When are we going to get to the point when we elect a person that when we ask him a question and he's honest, did you do drugs when you were a sophomore in high school? Yeah, I did. I got drunk one night. We smoked the hell out of some weed. But boy, did I learn fast. Why does that make him bad? I didn't smoke when I was a sophomore, but do you think I judge a person? Good gracious. So we're trying to elect a non-drug-using virgin who's never, ever experienced anything in his life and make him God as elect him as president. God ain't available to be our president, folks. He ain't there. He's all over, but he's not going to sit in the Oval Office. I'm sure he does at Obama's side making some decisions of the president. But please, when are we going to sit back and start to elect people that are actually... that air, it's being human. And why do we hold it against him if the guy had a dirty thought when he was a senior or actually had a two-on-one in college? Who hasn't thought about it or who hasn't done it? That we're going to hold it against him? Not saying he did, but if he admitted it, that would change your vote because he's immoral? How pathetic are you? Then you go run our country. The perfect person ain't out there, folks. If he wants to root for the Bears and wants to fill out his brackets, you shouldn't have a problem with it. If you do, call me and tell me why. 888-346-9144. We're coming right back. I love this show. Appreciate you guys listening. See you in a few.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So we've got it out there. Tom Brady's surgery on his foot for a stress fracture in his right foot, played with it all season. You may not like him, and people say, oh, it's whining and the excuses. I don't think they're making the excuses that's why they lost the game, because they got their ass kicked. It didn't bother them all season long, but they didn't play well in the playoffs, or in this game, should I say, in the championship game, or in the divisional game, which is their playoff game, the one that they played in, and they got beat. But it still makes it for a marvelous season, a stress fracture to go out there and have the season Tom Brady did. He's your MVP. You know. So, but so many people hate him. Why? Why is it? I mean, is it because he's been blessed with so much? Been blessed with so much? Or, I mean, what is it? What bothers you about Tom Brady? You know, it's so funny in this country, too. Here's a guy who seems to be a good example. Tom is. Doesn't get in trouble. He, you know, lives a good life. He's a dad. He's like living the American dream. But we don't. People don't like him. Yet then there's the people who live crazy, and some people like him, some people don't. I think we're a country that craves rebels. I do. And maybe Tom doesn't fit that for some. And then we're talking about President Obama. People have a problem that he roots for the Chicago Bears or that he openly roots for them. I don't. I just don't. And I don't have a problem with him. I hope that on Sundays that he's obviously focused on what is there and running our country and relations and all that and doing the things he has to do for health care and money. We all want that. That's obvious. But I don't have a problem with him kicking it up, having himself a cold beer, and sitting around in you know, whatever it is he wears, sitting around watching football and kicking back. Damn. It'd be nice to be in that position. Wouldn't it be cool? So why can't he be a sports fan? Why can't he root? Why can't he fill out a bracket like you guys? I think it's pretty cool. He's the president of the United States, but he doesn't mean he can't root for his Chicago Bears. If I was the president of the United States, which I don't want that job, and I ain't ever going to get it, but if I was the president of the United States, I'd openly root for the Boston Red Sox with no problem and could care less what any of you thought. And I'll openly root for the Boston Red Sox. I'll be unbiased. If the Red Sox suck, I'll tell you. But during when baseball, I can't wait for baseball to kick in. I'll be out in spring training and having some fun. I can't wait. Cannot wait. Love it. But please don't tell me that, and I'll root for the Red Sox, and I root for them openly. I respect the Yankees. I love the rivalry. Great, it's probably the best rivalry in sports. Don't miss Yankee Red Sox games, whether it's on TV or in person. I love it. I don't have a problem with it. Doesn't mean I don't respect the Yankees and think that at times the Yankees are a better team. And last year the Red Sox sucked. Papelbon didn't come through. They had too many injuries. They didn't play great baseball. It's pretty simple. You had Gonzo and Crawford and get your pitching staff right, and Papelbon picks it up with Josh Bard Jenkins, you know, Bobby Jenks, and you got yourself the makings of a good team. So I'll openly root. If I was president, I don't have a problem rooting for him. If you guys don't like it, tough. If I was the president, I'd also fill out a bracket. Doesn't bother me. I don't root for any NFL team. I don't care. I am a Viking because that's where I played most of my career. But you know what? I didn't pick the Vikings to do anything in the postseason. I mean, to get where they are and to get to the postseason, I didn't pick them. I didn't figure they'd be that good this year. I thought they were a bit overrated. And you know what? It didn't hurt my feelings that they weren't in the playoffs. I mean, I root for them, and I root for the organization, and I have so many Minnesota friends and great diehard Viking fans. But I'm not on their payroll, so if I didn't think they were better than the Packers, why would I pick them? 888-346-9144. For those of you out there that got a problem, and are the politics the problem when you can't stand that Obama roots for the Bears, or is it just that you don't think our president has a right to do that? Whether you voted for him or not. I didn't, but I support the office. I support that. I support that position and always will. But he has a right to root for his Chicago Bears without anybody making a big deal of it. But you know what? Hardcore haters or what will vilify him for that, but I don't think he actually deep down cares, nor should he. Breaking down these games, we've hit running games, we've hit defense, hit some perimeter people, wide receivers yesterday. You know, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the tight ends. They matter. Don't misunderstand me. But the best tight end in this Final Four, unfortunately, is hurt. And Finley, if he could play in Green Bay, but Greg Olsen's the best. That he had a great game last week, and I think that he's going to have to be a nice outlet with a relentless pass rush. Cutler's not going to be able to hold on to the ball long. Greg Olsen's fast, and he's a hell of a player with good hands. Of all the four teams, you know, the Steelers got good tight ends, and I mean, you can go right down the chute and judging them, and you know, Keller and Heath Miller, what have you. But I'm going to tell you now that the best tight end is Greg Olsen, who has a chance to be the biggest difference maker in the game. And if I'm Chicago, I lean on him as you did last week. But the two other things, the quarterback situation and the intangibles, the coaching. Let's start with that. Let's go coaching. McCarthy against Lovie Smith. I kind of a wash, I guess, for two reasons. Mike's hot as could be, but you see, you can't just limit it to the head coach. The head coach is the overseer. We got to go coordinators. Rod Marinelli and Mike Martz, basically Capers and McCarthy, because McCarthy's calling the play. So where does I don't know who the favorite is here. I guess you might go with Lee, and then you'd look at the offensive line coach and Mike Tice, spectacular turnaround with Mike Martz and getting that offensive line ready to block in a very and Mike does some crazy things with his offensive protections, and so meaning Martz and Mike Tice has to understand that. You look at it, Marinelli's been a head coach, Martz has been a head coach, Tice has been a head coach, and Lovie's been a head coach, all at the NFL level, so there you've got four former head coaches minimum, and I'm not sure who else, if Chicago has any more that have been a head coach on that staff, but right there, four guys that are head coach. So the experience, I would say, favors Chicago. Dom Capers been a head coach, obviously Mike McCarthy. So the Green Bay's got a wonderful staff. So maybe a wash a little bit on the experience side, I'd lean toward Chicago. In the other game, Mike Tomlin versus Rex Ryan. Tomlin's got Super Bowl win, so do you favor him? I don't know. You go to Dick LeBeau, and nobody in the NFL has more NFL experience than that guy. Hall of Famer, Dick LeBeau, spectacular, great coach. So with the veterans and the experience side goes to Green Bay. But the swagger and, you know, Schottenheimer's hot, he's doing well. Matt Kavanaugh coaching the quarterbacks. You got Rex Ryan calling the defenses. Mark Carrier's been an NFL player in this league. I mean, there's a lot of sidebars. I would say the coaching advantage probably to Pittsburgh when it comes to full staff I'm talking about. And experience, but you know what? While Mike Tomlin has a Super Bowl, Rex Ryan, this is his third AFC Championship game in a row. Two as a head coach, one as a coordinator. Been around football his whole life. I'm not sure the advantage goes with Mike Tomlin. As a matter of fact, some may think that Rex Ryan is the better head coach. I think it's kind of a wash. I think that's kind of a wash. Who's going to call the plays on the who's going to make the best calls on the day will be the key. Experience, Pittsburgh. Swagger when it comes to the coaching staff. Rex Ryan, I know both of these coaches respect each other immensely, meaning Mike Tomlin and Rex Ryan. Mike Tomlin thinks Rex is one hell of a football coach. So I'm not so sure that that's not a wash. I would say the best coach in the game is Dick LeBeau. Matter of fact, not to say, I know he is. So probably a slight advantage in that category to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because that's going to be the difference. How did the Jets deal with the philosophy and the Pittsburgh relentless defense. We'll come back and talk a few intangibles and talk quarterbacks at 888-346-9144. This is Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered. I hope you're having a great Friday.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Sports.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. On the Voice America Sports Channel.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network?
Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Got a interesting email to the show, and it came in last night. And I love from Susie. She's from Wisconsin. She listens to the show, and she said listens daily. Now break down the weekend games. Let me get your input on the scuttlebutt in Wisconsin and Green Bay. A friend of mine emailed me that Roger Goodell just named the same ref crew that called 18 penalties against the Pack in Game One to be the same crew to ref the NFL the NFC Championship game. He went on to say he wouldn't put it past him to do it because our president is from Chicago and wants to take his family to the Super Bowl. He ended it with, this is political bullshit. Okay, now I don't know if that is what it is, but what I do know is people here are livid about it. Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they make things more even and fair? So there is no question with the question mark, because now all of us will be watching closely. What's your take? Thanks, Susie. Susie makes a great point. I don't know who the official crew is, and this was the first brought to my attention, because you know what? Normally, you don't follow these things until... If you're a fan close like that of your team, you look back and say, wait a minute now, called 18 penalties in the first game. Is this referee crew against us? Yeah, I get that. Now, I pay attention once the referee crew's named and who it is, but I rarely go back and see until somebody brings it up. And if they had 18 penalties with that crew, then you actually have to go back. Now, I don't believe that Commissioner Goodell, and this is just me. Now, there's always conspiracy theories, and Susie, I understand it would be the same in any of us in 32 cities that if this happened, everybody, their antenna would go up and everybody would be like, well, why this? But you got to go back and take a look at, and all of us do if you want to know closely, because I don't know how many of those penalties were legitimate. Did the Packers commit 14 of the 18 penalties and they just had a screwy game? Then you just got to say it's no bearing on the referees. It has to do with your team wasn't well prepared. And I'd be interested to hear Mike McCarthy's thought on it. But truth is, you got to go out and play and do well. I don't believe that Commissioner Goodell put this crew out there just so Obama would go to the Super Bowl. I'm not into that. I don't believe that. Now maybe I'm crazy and I just look at the good side of things a lot of times. I don't buy that. I think that now in every game referees miss calls. In every game fans are pissed on both sides. When a team loses, oh, the referee screwed us. I've seen it happen. I live here in Dallas, and I can't begin to tell you how many times Cowboy fans made the excuse that it was the ref's fault that they lost when they were getting their ass kicked. I get it. But it may have been 10 of those calls were, phantom calls. You don't know. But I don't think that they'll come into this game in their mind saying, oh, we screwed the Packers. Let's try to do it again. I don't think that's the case. Now, would you like a crew that didn't? But what happens is that you judge the crew based on the playoff crew gets judged based on their regular season performance. And apparently, if you're down to the Final Four, the crew that's going to be calling the Packers
you're down to the Final Four, down to the final two games. The crew that's calling this game was one of the two best or three best in the NFL. Now, I don't know if one of these crews goes on to the Super Bowl or if these two crews call this game and we already have our Super Bowl crew set. I don't know that, but I can tell you this, that the guys who are calling this game are considered to be among the best of the NFL. Now, I know that it bothers Packer fans, and I get it. I don't believe it's a political just to get Obama there. I understand why Packers fans panic, but the truth is, if you play great football, that you're not going to get 18 penalties called on you. I know refs have missed some blatant calls, and it happens in every game, but I also know that an 18-penalty game means that your team did not play very well that game. And I'm picking the Packers. I picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl and be that team in August. So I'm not picking against them, against the Bears, officials or not. But I can tell you this, if they get 18 penalties in this game and they play a game like that, they won't beat the Bears. But it's important for people to understand that crews are based, they get graded. You may not agree with it, but I don't. And Susie, great email, and I get a great question. And looking beyond just what goes on with the players, officials have a say in the game. So you just have to kind of go back and say, man, and I remember the game you're talking about because I watched it, but I don't remember who the exact crew was on the game, but the Packers got hammered penalty-wise. Question is, did they deserve it, and they earn it with holding calls and offsides and personal fouls or whatever it was. So, but I don't believe, I think you can rest easy that the refs, you would hope that they'll, good referees, by the end of the game, we don't even know they were out on the field. It's when they take over the game that it becomes a problem. But I think you can rest assured that this game's going to be won, you know, at Soldier Field in Chicago by the best team. I don't think the officials are going to determine, at least I hope not. At this late game in the season, you don't want that to happen. So I wish you luck, and I hope that you people relax and let your Packers kick in or your Bears kick in and not worry about the officiating crew. The officiating crew's on their best, but I don't think this is a Roger Goodell political hire to get President Obama to the Super Bowl. I don't believe that's the case, and I don't think you need to worry about that. To this game, to these two games, and we've gone through matchups, and obviously special teams-wise, there's good special teams on all of them. Everybody has a playmaker. I mean, whenever you got Devin Hester, that immediately catapults you to the number one team. It just does. Then you got to take into the weather. Well, both games are being played in places it could be snowing, you know, cats and dogs, gatos y perros this weekend. It could be cold and windy in both cities. It could be miserable. It could be sunny and cold. It ain't going to be hot. So special teams will be affected. It just is. But I think when all's said and done, and it comes right down to it, Heinz Field disadvantage for kickers, so you can't expect those guys to have the best special teams day. So the best special teams probably be played in Chicago, and any time you got Devin Hester on your team, you've got the advantage. The quarterback position in these four teams, Rodgers and Cutler. Start with Cutler. I've been impressed with the way Cutler's excelled this year. He started off early. There's still question marks about him. People don't like his body language. People don't like the frown and the rest of it. But, you know, and Cutler, you know, sometimes says some things that you scratch your head, but he's really stepped up his game, folks. There was no more critical guy of Cutler in this country than me. But, you know, because I think he's got the best arm in the league. He can do things with that football that most quarterbacks in Soldier Field. In Chicago, maybe since, I don't know, who was it? Sid Luckman or back in the day when, I guess, they haven't had a more talented quarterback on their roster in my 40-plus years than Cutler. They haven't had a more talented, skilled, that better arm than Cutler, and that's the truth. Now, is he the best or the one with the best game, you know, winner? No, not yet. But the guy had game. The guy can throw it. Nobody's ever had a stronger arm that played in Soldier Field than that guy. So he can throw it. But I've been hard on him because I think some of his decisions, and his biggest strength is his biggest weakness, as a lot of strong-arm quarterbacks are. They think they can throw it through and over and around anybody, but mostly through. And when you do that, you can get yourself in trouble. Ball gets tipped, interception, and Green Bay will ball hawk the living hell out of you. He's got to be careful of that. But he's underrated feet. He can throw the ball off balance better than most can throw it standing in the pocket. But he'll get a little erratic at times. So what color is going to show up, that's a concern of mine. But I'll tell you, he is. I liked color when he came out of school. And I've said this before, I didn't like some of the attitude he brought forth. And at the beginning of this year, I crushed him some of the way he played, but he's answered the bell, and he's playing his ass off, and that's a good thing for Chicago.
Aaron Rodgers, there's not a hotter quarterback in football than him. There's not a more talented guy left than him. There's not a better quarterback left in the Final Four than him. He and Roethlisberger are the two best of the Final Four. But Aaron Rodgers is playing hot. He's making it look easy. He's got the best combination of feet and arm left. He's got great accuracy, leadership, got a chip on his shoulder. I don't know what else to say. There's not enough to describe the guy good. I think you're looking at a guy who, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl this year, will win one, has overcome the second most IR injuries in the league this year next to the Colts. He can carry on his shoulders as a team. He's special. And I've been saying it for 2 years, and people say, oh, no, I've heard people in Dallas say they wouldn't trade Tony Romo for Aaron Rodgers. You're on crack from here to hell and back. The Dallas Cowboys would crawl 10 miles over broken glass. They said, we'll give you Rodgers for Romo. And any of the Cowboy homers that think Romo's a better quarterback than Rodgers, if Tony Romo was in Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers would not have been in the playoffs. If Aaron Rodgers was in Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys would not have finished with the record that the Dallas Cowboys would have been pushing for a playoff. Now, I know Tony got hurt this year. Don't miss that. And I like Tony. But I've broached that question before, and people say, I'd take Tony over Aaron Rodgers. It's not even close, folks. It's not even close. And I don't care about the numbers, and people are going to say, well, his numbers are better than Troy Aikman's. Well, you know what? Numbers, give me a break. Baseball hitter, you're going to tell me that David Ortiz is better than Ted Williams? Okay? Numbers change, and things change, and players throw it, and people do it, and it goes on and on and on, okay? With the way the ball and the offenses and people change and the evolution of sports. Don't sit here and tell me that you think that Tony Romo is a better football player than Aaron Rodgers. He's not in his league, okay? Aaron Rodgers is a top five player. Tony Romo's lucky if he breaks into your top 10 at quarterback. And I like Tony. Be fun to coach. He's a wonderful talent. He's not in Aaron Rodgers' league. And he's Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger close. Aaron Rodgers is more talented. Ben Roethlisberger is the best pressure quarterback in this game, in this Final Four. Rodgers probably second, but Rodgers he takes the backseat to nobody in the Final Four. And he's the best quarterback in this game over the Bears and the Packers. The question is, can Rodgers carry you, and can the defense force interceptions? I got Rodgers as the better player than Cutler, and I don't think there's any question. Not a better arm, but he's a better player. And Rodgers, exactly, the arm isn't exactly chopped liver. Now, Sanchez, Roethlisberger, Sanchez, it's kind of a similar thing. Sanchez, explosive talent, run. He of the four guys left, if you put him in a superstars competition, Sanchez would win. Strong, tough, but he's still developing, and Mark's still growing in the position. He's only in his second year, and hell, he's been in two AFC championship games. Pretty damn good, huh? Pretty damn good. SC guy, but I can't be overly biased to the SC guys, and Mark's been great, tough, but there's some times when Mark can have a Jay Cutler game, a little bit of a three-interception meltdown. The question is, will it happen here? And then Ben Roethlisberger, folks, I believe that he probably is as good at dealing with pressure as any player we have in the league. Beard, kind of scraggly, doesn't look really good doing it, drops back weird, scrambles out. Big, he doesn't look like he's moving, but he can't tackle him. He makes all big plays. The game's on the line in the fourth quarter, and he has the ball in his hand. I don't doubt Pittsburgh's going to win. Big enough arm, can carry a team throwing it. I don't think they like to throw it as much as they do sometimes, but Ben can carry you. This is a guy who's a winner, going after his third Super Bowl in half a dozen years or so. The guy can flat-ass play. He just can. So, if it comes down to that, advantage Roethlisberger in this game, not only experience-wise, but maybe as good a pressure quarterback as we have in the league. We'll come back and finish this up with some intangibles and finish this show up for the weekend. This is Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered. Cool Mike, I'm sorry. Hang on. We're going to get Cool Mike up right when we come back. Patient enough to hold on. I just had to get that segment in about quarterbacks. Mikey, come on back and we'll call you. We'll take you on and finish this segment.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Get out to Mike at Michigan. Mike, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Sean. Thanks
How
for
are
taking
you?
My call. Oh, doing well, doing well. I'm very excited about the weekend sports, that's for sure.
I'll bet you are. Who you got in the two games?
Well, of course, I got the Chicago Bears. I'm a season ticket holder from the South End Zone.
Right.
And I think the AFC is just, I have bet against the Jets every single week, and I've eaten crow. And, I mean, that's it. That's these kind of teams. I mean, you guys mentioned, well, you think they run their course. Man, I thought that since about week 8.
Yep. I'm not sure they've run their course. I know Anthony thinks that the one of the callers, Anthony, who comes on all the time, thinks that they may have, left it on the field in New England. We'll see. And he may be right. But Pittsburgh had a pretty emotional win over Baltimore, too, but they're at home, so we'll see. So are you betting against the Jets again, or are you going to take them finally?
Yeah. No, I'm taking the Steelers. You can't. You almost really can't argue if you say the Steelers have the most richest football tradition in the league.
No question about it.
I mean, they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are the New York Yankees, maybe not to that magnitude, but they are the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And they have the hardware and the rings to show for it. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
So you got the Bears as you should as a season ticket holder. You know, let me ask you this, and if I'd asked you this question in week 3 about Jay Cutler, where he was, would you have been able to tell me you thought that Cutler was a Super Bowl quarterback? Because in the first month of the season, I would have said, hell no.
No, I don't think anybody would have thought that. I did say that, I mean, we're going through a very big transition as far as the offensive line. We were weak as it is, and then we had injuries, so we had to substitute with second and third string players. So you go from weak to really, really weak. And they're still not strong, but it's the best we've come up with. And bottom line is, you can talk about week 1 when Green Bay had, I think it was, like 8 personal fouls.
Right.
Where, like, they retaliate. You can go back and forth. Bottom line is we're looking at some even games here. And one of the things, I don't like to get into this attack or that attack. The game's going to be played on the field regardless of what happened the last 2 times or 3
Agreed.
Times. The Packer fans are always like, well, we beat Philly, and, we've gone on to beat Atlanta. You know what? The Bears didn't have to do that because you know why? They took care of business during the regular season.
I mean, they almost remind really me of don't, the momentum's good, but you know what? When you're playing a team a third time, it doesn't matter. I don't care what they did against Atlanta because it's going to be difficult for Rodgers to go 31-36 in this game.
But you're exactly right. While it's fine, and the Bears took care of their business in the regular season, so they didn't have to. Question is, how much momentum will they have after they hammered Seattle? And I think that Lovie Smith will have them ready to play. I think it's going to be one hell of a football game.
Yeah, I hope so too. I don't think that it's going to be as high scoring. One of the reasons the field was really bad in Chicago.
Yeah, no way.
There's no way.
Either team. Heck, I'm not sure 48 points will be scored between the two teams, let alone Green Bay hanging 48 on Atlanta. This could be one of those 16, 21-17, 21-20 games. If it's up in the 30s, hey, good. It'll be a blast because then it means both offenses are moving and will be an exciting game. And, Mike, before I let you go, what was I going to say? Oh, so now has Cutler been well received now? Are they fans of Cutler? Are there still people walking wondering what Jay Cutler is going to show up in this game?
Well, you're a quarterback. You know, it's play by play to the idiots in the stands, and you know I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but you know everybody in the stands is an official. They're a coach or they're a player. Probably 10% in the stands really know the game.
Right.
So the bottom line is if Jay Cutler wins, they're going to throw him on the shoulders and parade him around.
Yep.
If they don't, a high-scoring game does not favor us. I think in the sense the Bears are capable of winning a close game. I think if it's a high-scoring game, I think that really favors Green Bay just because
this game's
our
in the
offense
20,
is good.
If this game's in the 20s or the teens, Bears advantage. It starts to creep up in the upper 20s. I agree with you, Green Bay advantage, and you're right. He'll be a hero if Cutler could pull this off. If he has a bad game, people will go back saying, I can't believe it. You know how it is. And that's the way fans are anywhere. But Chicago's got such great sports fans. So good luck, my man. Enjoy this weekend. It's going to be a blast. And I don't need to tell you to dress warm.
No, I'm
glad you're going. I'll watch it from the coziness of my own home, my man.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, as I close off, I just wanted to know what your opinion was of Pat Hayden as a hire for the athletic director at USC. I'll hang up and listen to you off the air.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. You know what? I think Pat was good. I've known Mike Garrett for a long time when I took recruiting trip there. Mike was helped recruit me to go to USC. I like Mike. I think SC and Mike was great, but sometimes, like at any job, you run your course. And I think when we got, you know, the president and change, they wanted Pat Hayden. And Pat's, you know, lawyer and businessman, and Pat kind of epitomizes what SC alumni love. And when you think of SC in the past, even though Pat Hayden statistically wasn't our best quarterback or Matt Leinart or Carson Palmer or what have you, Pat, there's an affiliation with Pat, and Pat's a very calm, extremely bright businessman. So they went from the fiery jump up in your grill, Mike Garrett, and it served its purpose. Heck, Mike Rand was the athletic director during one of the great runs and made one of the great hires in Pete Carroll in SC history. But time for a change, and when people want to change, they get it. So it doesn't shock me with Pat Hayden and J.K. McKay, who is his wide receiver, also in that front office. It'll be a different approach at USC, but a more buttoned up, zipped up approach. So I think it was a good hire. I think it was a good hire. Pat's very smart, and Pat won't tolerate losing, but Pat also won't do a whole lot of the tolerating will be behind closed doors or the non-tolerating. Pat's not much of a self-promoter, but very, very good at what he does. And the irony of it is so funny that Pat had been doing all these Notre Dame games for NBC, and we got him back as I had been rooting for USC, and now we got him back as our athletic director. So I loved Mike Garrett. Mike had some, you know, we all have our things. We go through difficult times and good times. But Mike was the athletic director during a hell of a run, and I think Pat will do the same, but he won't tolerate losing either because Pat's exactly what SC, when you think about USC, the fraternity and the alumni, Pat Hayden's like the, if you look it up, USC alumni, Pat's picture will be in there underneath it and how you describe it. So I think Pat will do well. I appreciate the call, Mike. He's right about Cutler. He'll be a hero if he can pull this off. If not, he'll be a bum. That's the way it is in a high-scoring game. No doubt favors Green Bay. In the intangibles of these games, guys, there's a lot of different ones. I think the team with the most intangibles would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that there's something about them. And I don't mean intimidation. They're saying they like to intimidate, but there's something about them. There's almost a security about them which allows them to go out and cut it loose and play their best football. I think of all the four teams, I don't believe any team believes in themselves more than this team. Now, the Jets are close. The Jets talk, but I think the Jets are still in those stages of convincing themselves, and they're pretty damn close. But the Steelers were the Jets, maybe not with the talking wise, but for a couple years ago. And the Jets are close, and the Jets are definitely capable of winning this. And I love the Rex Ryan factor. But when it comes to the intangibles, the leadership on defense, and the, you know, an offensive line that may not be there, it's not as good as they used to be, but gets it done. A quarterback who can beat you not having a great. See, I don't think the Jets can win if Sanchez goes 17-40. I believe the Steelers can win if Roethlisberger goes 9 out of 22. And I think that's an intangible that matters. In the other game, the intangible, you know, great play calling is going to matter. And you know, the things you can put your hands on that are tangible, the quarterback play and the rest of it. For the intangibles here are, you know what, the leadership qualities, that comes in every game. But, you know, sometimes leadership can be overrated. Sometimes you just got to go out there and cut it loose and play. And when all's said and done, you know, you could throw out all the BS, what happened 4 weeks ago, what happened in training camp in the offseason. It's going to come down to stupid blocking, tackling, and execution. It is. And you can't beat yourself with penalties. And you say, with personal fouls and getting even and late hits out of bounds, you've got the intangible of controlling your emotions in the game. And in the Packer-Bear game, because the Jets and Steelers is not a rivalry. I mean, it's a playoff game and the rest of it. I'm talking about where you got to face them game in and game out a couple times a year and possibly three times a year. This is a hardcore black and blue Norse division, NFC Central, NFC North battle of epic proportion. And I think the team in this game that can control their emotions, it doesn't mean you don't come out of the tunnel fired up, but how do you control your emotions early in the game? Are you able to settle in quickly? That'll be an intangible in this. Who settles in quicker? The Steelers, I think, could settle in the middle of the third quarter and find a way to get it done. In this Chicago-Green Bay game, with the rivalry and the hatred and the fans and they want it, how can you be able to take a deep breath, calm your nerves, and say, we can't get down 14-0. We got to start fast, but start fast in a very methodical, relaxed way. And if you get hit late out of bounds, don't hit second. Just play good football, because then you get penalized. Who can handle the emotions early in the game in the Green Bay game? They're going to be emotional. It's crazy, all the talking going on in Pittsburgh Jets game. The emotions of the rivalry, can you keep it in check early in this game, will be the key. I got the Packers and the Steelers, but should be a great Final Four. And President Obama, you can root for your team. You're allowed. You're a sports fan. Tom Brady, we wish you luck. Don't know why people don't like him, but they don't. Maybe it's just the Patriots' aura. We're coming back. Have a great sports weekend to you and yours, and I appreciate it. Thanks for all the great support and for Voice America Sports and the support they give me. Without you fans, it wouldn't be possible. And to all you new listeners, thanks. We'll be back at it Monday, breaking down what should be a great weekend of sports, mainly AFC-NFC Championship game. As again, I don't hide. I got the Steelers, and I got the Packers. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Hey, did you know Voice America has partnered with the KidStar Network to expand their reach through Voice America Kids?